Blog Talk Radio.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
glory, glory, glory,
glory. Now the war.
Woman and child, even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the league of justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day,
brothers and sisters, brothers doing today. As we say a little shout out to my brother V and sister Tamar. I hope everybody's doing good there in White Nut Creek. It was good. We got to spend the last Sabbath with each other.
Shalom,
for all our brothers.
Israel. Greetings from White Nut.
How you doing, brother?
I just want to say shalom in the beginning, brother, but it's all you. We good. I want to let you know I'm here. I'm right here with you.
All right, my brother. Hey, shalom to you and sister Tamar. Right. How y'all doing?
Doing good, brother.
Peace to all our...
All right.
Hi, sister Tamar.
All right, I'm you.
Peace to all our brothers and sisters that are in their lands and their captivities here in the this harlot, United Snakes of America, that's whooping on our brothers and sisters, killing us without a cause. As this Gregorian calendar, they talk about their year ending. Well, we know that our year, it starts in the springtime, the month of Eve. But as we're getting killed unmercifully in this land of our captivity, I say peace to our brothers and sisters. The one thing that's going to help keep us safe is to keep our Father's commandments, keep His laws, His statutes, until the day that He comes back, and to teach them to our children, teach them to our loved ones, so they can stay out of harm's way. And question, what the lesson we're going to talk about is, you know, if you're a Hebrew, if you know you're a Hebrew, why not just keep the law? And for anybody that else don't know, you know, keeping the law is what's going to help convert your soul. And you'll have that be converted with the power of Christ. Having Him as your Lord and your Savior, that He left you a blueprint, an example on how you should live. So you follow that. You keep that law because it explains to you what you should and shouldn't do. And then you'll be able to be changed. Before we start, we're going to go to our Father in prayer. You know, bowing your heads and just getting close to your loved ones or raising your hands up and being exalted to the Most High, whatever way you want to do it. But as the Word tells us, if you can face where Jerusalem would be, New Jerusalem coming down with our women with their heads covered, our men with their heads uncovered, and of course giving all glory to the Most High for giving us another day to get it right. So we'll pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because you have the kingdom, the power, and all the glory that will stand here in this place forever and ever. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for the Christ, the anointed one that came and showed us the way for salvation. We thank you for your words, which is your law, and examples on how we should keep them. We pray this in your Son's name. Hallelujah. Hiya, Shah, hiya. Amen. So, we're going to jump right into our Father's Word. We're going to turn to what we'll say the Torah, the law, Deuteronomy chapter 12. Starting off at verse 1, we're going to go 1 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. And it reads, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, and upon the hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all the tribes to put his name there. Even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and your flocks. Verse number 7. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that he put your hand unto, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which your Lord God giveth you. So we're starting off in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, starting off talking about, first of all, as we say, in our, things getting your mind right, knowing that there's an inheritance that the Most High is going to give to the children of Israel, that remnant, those people that want to keep the commandments. But first, just in yourself, you need to break down all those pagan things that's been built up to you, inside of you, those pillars, those images, those false gods, that's false worship that's inside of you, inside the church. This is your holy temple. You need to break those things down and clear those things out. Don't let them habitate where the Most High is supposed to dwell inside of you. And you need to present yourself as a living sacrifice. See, back in the day, back when they got with Yeshua, the one we call Jesus Christ, they gave offerings daily, sacrifices daily. And they were killing people, killing animals and the firstlings of fruits and all that stuff on a daily basis. We couldn't stop sinning. So now, that stuff is not replaced, but for you to be that living sacrifice, the same way that Yeshua was, that you present yourself daily. Clean all that heathen stuff that's inside of you, all those false worship, and how you know what it is, because if it's not from the Father, it's from Hasatan, that adversary, or one of his agents, one of his disciples, one of his preachers, or it could be from mama and daddy and them that were just lost. And then if that ruach, which we call the spirit, has been placed upon you to hear this truth, then you tell anybody that's willing to listen that what you need to observe and what you need to keep is our Father's commandments. So now we're down on Deuteronomy chapter 12, going down to verse 28. I'll read 28 and 32. And it reads, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwell in their land. Take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord hateth have thy done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What then soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Now, something simple to look at now as we read this word is this is a season that so many people are doing a pagan thing, Christmas. And they know it's pagan, the hair is pagan. So many bands come out with me. Hey, they just don't care. You know, you'll get these Israelites, according to the flesh, our black brothers and sisters, people of dark skin hue. And you can tell them that this is, hey, this is not from the Father. You know, some places you can, if you really search out, you can trace this abominable act they have all the way back to Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. T-A-M-M-U-Z and Nimrod. They're saying his birth was on December 25th. The weeping of Tammuz, as you can see in the book of Ezekiel. These are false worship, false gods that Semiramis took over. That's her mystery religion she was teaching. She was teaching them as gods, to be as gods. And now in this day and age, who knows how many thousands of years later that it is, we still worship that false god, that false religion, making up things and traditions of man other than keeping the traditions of our Father, the Most High. Understand that in his word, there's a perfect way for us to live. It's a perfect way for us to look. It's a perfect way for us to think. And every day, we need to clear all the garbage that's inside of us so we can get on the same frequency of the Most High. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. See, right there, it's a great explanation. You'll get so many that teach. You don't have to keep the law anymore. But here it tells you the same way it starts with the Sabbath, to remember my Sabbath. But he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So we're going to stop at verse 2. And it says that if you don't forget my law, and you keep them in your heart, that the law itself will lengthen your days, give you a longer life, so give you peace. Our Hebrew brothers and sisters say shalom all the time, that you just speak English, peace. Come to thee, and I'll be added unto you. So I'm going to start off with one thing, the Sabbath. We look at the Sabbath day. Go to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Now, we look at our Father's Sabbath day, a day of rest, a day that you don't do any work, a day that you don't have your own thoughts, that you lean to the understanding of the Most High, that you read his words and get closer to him. There's a list of, as we say, do's and don'ts. But to understand that he said keep his law, we're going to start off with just keeping the Sabbath day. This is for those that don't believe in Sabbath as well as those that do. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Days shalt thou labor and do all thy works. But the seventh day to the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all of them that is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Again, give me understanding that we want from the word. To understand when he says, don't forget my law, but it should be in your hearts. Forget what I've told you. So we're going to turn to Leviticus chapter 23. And we're just going to read one verse in Leviticus chapter 23, and that's verse 3. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. And it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And holy convocation. The Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, which it means in the Strong's Concordance number 4744, a rehearsal. The word rehearsal defined as a participating in a preparation for an event. The term mikra also means to read. To understand. So you can see that in the Strong's Concordance. Again, it was verse 4744. And the reason why we bring this out, the Hebrew, because it tells you in that one verse we read that the Sabbath day, and it starts off as a holy convocation. And that word convocation again means assemblies, assemble, convocation, a reading, a summoning, a summoning. He also tells you that it's holy. And the Hebrew word for that is Kodesh. Again, you'll find that in Strong's Concordance. 6942. In the word Kodesh, to be concentrated, become holy, to declare, to dedicate, dedicating, to keep holy, to be made holy, manifest my holiness, myself holy, purify. Regarded as holy, sanctified, set apart, set them apart, show himself holy, treat me as holy, vindicate holiness. So, in Leviticus chapter 23, we see those two things right there. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, the one in the English tongue that people say Jesus, and to understand what Jesus means, it's supposed to mean Savior. We say in Hebrew, Yeshua. You have some people say Yahshua, for Yah, salvation. But in Luke 4:16, it said it was our Messiah's custom to go to the synagogue every Sabbath day and to read out of the book of the law. So that was his custom. His custom was to keep the Sabbath day. Now, we also see, if you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13, then go down to verse 42. Acts chapter 13, verse 42. And it reads, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue," that means all the Jews, the ones we call Hebrew Israelites, the ones that come from that, that tribe of Judah, and they come to the English word named Jews, the ones that we know Yeshua came from the tribe of Judah, the one that Paul or Saul, the name you want to call him by, he came from that tribe. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, again, all of Judah. We know all the ancestors they were from the Mount Sinai, the ones that were in the wilderness. That slang were Jews. And when the Jews were gone out to synagogue, they were all left. Not a snitch of them there. Not hiding behind a tree. Not saying some clear words. They were off the synagogue and they left. And it reads, "The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." At one point in time, again, New Testament, at this point, Yeshua, Jesus, the Anointed One, Hamat, the Meshach, the Messiah, he's already been crucified. He's already first fruits from the dead, already resurrected for 40 days before he ascended back up to where the Father was. Ate with him, talked to him. This is way after his death. There was already feast days taking place as you read the book of Acts. So that means years passing. They are still teaching on that Sabbath day. All the laws and customs and things that went along with the Sabbath day. And he wasn't just teaching Jews. He was teaching of another nation, the Gentiles. They besought that thing could be read to them. That teaching that he gave to the Jews could be taught to them on the next Sabbath day. And he didn't teach them, "Hold on, wait a minute. We'll meet on Sunday and get this thing done." No, he met with them and taught them on the next coming of the Sabbath. So to understand where we're going real quick, we're going to turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 25. It reads, we'll start verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." And the only day that we see approaching, keeping this word, the only day that is supposed to be important is when Yeshua comes back, when your Christ comes back. So we're about to get into this as far as us keeping the Sabbath day, keeping that law in our hearts and our minds, keeping that law as the Most High told us we need to keep it. See, that Sabbath day, it has some do's and some don'ts. that Sabbath day got some instructions for us to keep. Now, these instructions are not grievous. These instructions are not burdensome. Tells you, as we read, don't work. You see that in Exodus 20, verse 8, Deuteronomy 5, 13, and 4. Don't compel your servants to labor on your behalf. Exodus 20, 10, Deuteronomy 5, 14 through 5. Okay, again, a lot of people say, well, I don't have service, but if you go to a fast food place, somebody's got to serve you. If you order some food, they got to come by and serve you. So don't compel people to serve you on a Sabbath day. Don't compel strangers to labor on your behalf. Don't compel your animals, your livestock, to labor, Deuteronomy 15, 14. Don't compel your family to labor. And again, that word compel is to push out to work. I can't sit back and say, I'm resting on a Sabbath day, but here I'm going to make my wife keep doing her weekly chores or duties. I tell my wife to relax on a Sabbath day. You know, there's things that everybody's got to learn to do because we're going to have judgment on our own. But as I tell her and my kids, first and foremost, we rest. Then we try to get closer to the Most High. But I'm not going to tell them to make me no food. I'm not going to tell them to be sweating in the kitchen. I'm not going to tell them to do anything. I ain't going to tell my youngest son to go cut some grass. If we don't get everything prepared in that preparation day, that means we just don't have it done that day. Maybe it'll motivate our butt to prepare for the Sabbath day better than the week before. Tells you, verse number 6, don't prepare meals on the Sabbath day. That means don't be starting up your fire. Again, we see in Exodus 16, 23. We gotta keep this law in our heart, in our mind. We have to do these things. As Hebrew Israelites, there's nothing wrong with us keeping the law. Don't go outside your place, Exodus 16, 29. Don't gather your daily food, Exodus 16, 22. Don't engage in business, Nehemiah 10, 31. Don't do your own pleasure. Don't speak your own words. Don't think your own thoughts. We see that in Isaiah 58, 13. But we are commanded to assemble. We are commanded to rest. We are commanded to delight in our Father's day. We are commanded to keep it holy, set apart. So when somebody asks us or say to us, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. I'm about to go party like it was 1999. We tell them we keep the Sabbath day. We tell our young ones, don't be running out in the streets when that sun is going down. Because first and foremost, the law is out there. People in uniforms, them badges that says protect and serve. They used to say protect and serve the white way of life. Don't believe me? Look it up. So they're out there stalking and looking. In some cases, some of our decent men, they're just looking for lawbreakers. In other cases, they're looking for your black butt, Israel. Trying to see what coon they can catch that night, slipping. Trying to see what black man or black woman they can catch after dark. Some of them get excited when our Father's Sabbath comes because they know they're going to catch some. dumb Israelite out there being a fool. But again, as we read earlier, that commandment is there to keep us safe. So we keep that Sabbath day the way that it's prescribed for us to keep it. We keep his laws the way it's prescribed for us to do it. And there's so much teaching that goes out that I've heard people say everything from, well, when you cut on your hot water, the furnace may come on. If you cut the heat on, the furnace may come on. So you're lighting heat, so you're sitting anyway. So you might as well cook something too. Well, you don't have to break our Father's laws. You can choose to keep your Father's laws. He makes allowances for sinning in ignorance or makes a differential between you sinning on purpose. You don't have to compel your family members to break the Sabbath day. Now, you're going to get, just like I talked to my brother V about my family, and I'm not here to put them on blast, but there's going to have to be them making their own choices for their own walk. That's the reason why part of my faith, I have to have patience. I got to live out what I speak, practice what I preach. I got to be faithful, understanding that I broke my Father's word and his commandments. Now I got to teach others to keep them. It's going to be on them to understand our Father's laws and start doing them. So we understand these things that we're doing. And again, a part of our faith is to have patience. Give all virtue to add to your faith. And one of those things is patience. But we try to keep our Father's commandments the way our Father prescribed them for us to keep them. And we keep these things the way that he wants us to keep them. Not for our own pleasure, not for our own desires, because that is the way the Father wants us to be. We're going to look at a couple other scriptures, again, to help us get our mind right, to make us think the same way that the Most High would want us to think, to behave the same way the Most High told us to behave. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. We're going to hit some other scriptures towards the end. I want you to see the importance of what him saying he's the Son of Man. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. This is Yeshua talking. And he said the Sabbath, it was made for man. So before there was a creature named man, before there was a Garden of Eden, before there was a heaven, before Yeshua was sitting out here with all the rules and regulations and the laws, there was a Sabbath day. There was a Sabbath of rest. He took the blueprint from the Ancient of Days and made man in their image, and taught us what the Ancient of Days want us to have and want us to be. So, the same way we read earlier, teaching the Sabbath day, we teach it the way the Father has prescribed it to us to teach it. We try to live it out the way that the Father prescribed us to live it. Teaching it to our daughters, to our sons, to our wives, even animals. Even a field, the land, every herb, every seed, every tree, is supposed to rest on that day. See, that Sabbath is a sign between you and the Creator. You're becoming one with everything in creation on that day. You are now trying to transcend this physical and finding what it is to be spiritual. And a Yeshua is the Lord of that day. We call it Sabbath. So Yeshua did things a certain way. So, again, Hebrew Israelites, why don't we do it the way that he told us to do it? There is no other reason than to do it the way he told us to. So we're going to get better on the reasons that we do the things that he told us to. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, we're down at verse 13 to 14. And it reads, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon high places on the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. So again, it's trying to get your mind right, to understand that you got to turn away from your own thoughts, your own pleasures, and we all want to come together. If you're a Hebrew Israelite, you need to be seeking those you can come together with and have a holy convocation with. You need to sing. You need to dance. You need to praise. You need to pray. You need to humble yourself in front of the Creator. That's what we're commanded to do. But you got to leave all that other baggage at the door. You got to set all that other stuff aside. We set it aside because it's so important for us to get to the same mind and the same thought of the Creator. Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Yo, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We're going to stop at 3. And the covenant he said he'll make with you, not with the whole body of Israel, not with every person that's walking around, but if you hearken to this, and again, at this season that we're living in, people are buying a whole bunch of crap that they don't need. Everything from cars, video games, whatever it may be. But this word was given to you freely. You can find a Bible and get it for free anywhere you look, because that's what the Father has promised. But you got to hearken diligently unto him. You got to look for what's good inside of him. And that's what's going to overtake you and keep you. Verse number 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to thy people, a leader, a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation I know. These shall run unto thee because the Lord thy God, and for thy Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while ye may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 8 again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I can't tell you every reason that the Most High tells us to do certain things. But at the end of the day, he says he knows that you love him if you're willing to keep his commandments. Now, I know before I was born, or even when I was a little shorty, as they would say, people going around saying, don't eat pig. I couldn't tell you the reason why. I know now you study to show yourself approved, so if there's a dietary law, you should study it. Right? But I couldn't tell you all these reasons why. But there was many people, even back in the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, the ones that kept on to this word would tell you not to eat it. We got a Time magazine that came out from our government now that says, hey, swine could be causing cancer. I already know it's bad for me because the Most High is what told us these things are bad. You don't have to know every reason why we do the things we do. But if it's in our Father's blueprint on how we should live, we need to try to acquiesce ourselves to do them. We need to learn how to humble ourselves, to put his word in place as the forefront of everything we do. We're going to go back to Proverbs. Verses 3 and 4. We read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're going to read 1 through 4. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For the length of day and a long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let no mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So here again, we read Proverbs 3, 1 through 6, to help give us better understanding of where our mind needs to get to be. Don't forget my Father's law. Don't forget his commandments. And don't lean to your own understanding. You don't need to try to rationalize out the book. If the book tells you in Exodus chapter 31 that his Sabbath day is a perpetual covenant forever and ever for all the children of Israel, that it will never end. If he tells you in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, that the heaven and earth will pass away, the sun and the moons will pass away before his word will pass away. So keep his commandments. Then you just got to learn how to keep them. You got to learn how to humble yourself and learn how to keep his commandments. And that's going to lead you to all wisdom that's in this world. As the book says, that's what's going to lead you to knowledge. And I know it's hard to comprehend that sometimes, but just walking this walk right now, my understanding of what herbs versus what drugs they are, not from no wisdom from me. Again, the Most High leads you to those things. To understand what places are bad, what places are good, what people are going around and what they're even walking in. See, the word breaks down even the spirit of people. That you can actually see that reflection come out of the book. See, he said he'll direct your path. If someone tells you, hey, we're going to go out to the club, we got a little weed, it's going to hit this, everything going to be all right. You know, in the back of your head, y'all getting high and going out, everything may not be all right. So we learn how to walk in these commandments and keep what the Father has said for us to do. Again, I don't know everything, but I know that we need to be obedient. Back when I was a child, we used to eat a little thing called chitlins, right? Now, I don't know if y'all know what chitlins are, but in every creature, there's an intestines. And inside the intestines, we have like finger-like things that grab stuff. Inside the pig, in their intestines, they eat up all the stuff inside those intestines, and the finger-like things absorbing inside. And if you don't know, pigs eat a lot of boo-boo. In a different language, wherever way you want to put it, they eat a lot of filth. And they absorb those things. And when we were young, I couldn't wait to eat some chitlins. I mean, if anybody ever has chitlins cooked in their house, make the whole house funky. I mean, some of the people say when they take the chitlins out of the hog, the smell is so bad they have to wear masks and all the other things to keep the bacteria from getting inside their lungs or in their eyes. I mean, that's how bad it is. Open up this swine that we eat on a daily basis. This nation tells us the FDA is good for us to eat. So I used to eat chitlins. Couldn't wait for it. Put a little oil. Some vinegar, salt and pepper, onions. Boy, we used to tear down some chitlins. Knowing what I know now, I understand those things are bad for me. We're going to read a little something out of 1 Timothy 4. Again, still trying to get understanding where our Father's word. 1 Timothy 4, it's going to go 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So in the latter times, he's not talking about when Yeshua was there, he's talking about the latter times, and giving heed to seducing spirits. And you know, a seductress, something that looks tempting, and the doctrines of devils. Again, speech that goes against the Most High. Verse number 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and command to abstain from meats, which God hath created to receive the thanksgiving for them which believe and know them. Now, you got some religions like the Catholic Church and all their daughters they sprung out of them. They forbid to marry. And they have these different days of Lent and all these different things. But the Most High, in his congregation, he tells us that we need to marry. That he set up a woman and a man to be fruitful and to multiply. Be one. They have a union of two people, become one flesh, and raise all their children up in that same likeness that the Creator did. So that's what he told us to. That's his truth. Verse number 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So if you read this, you'll have a whole bunch of people telling you, hey, now you can eat pig, you can eat shellfish, You can eat all sorts of abominable things because as long as you pray over them. And here we say if you keep the Father's word, that is not what he's talking about. We can go to Leviticus 11. I'll just start off in the beginning. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying unto them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts of the earth. Whatso partaketh the hoof and cloven foot and chews the cud, among the beasts they shall eat. We're going to skip all the way down to 44. Because all Leviticus 11 is telling you what you can't eat and what you can't eat. In verse 44 it says, for I am, and what do we say in Hebrew? Ahaya. For I am Ahaya Shar Ahaya. The same place it's telling you right there, the same way we see in Exodus chapter 3, 14, the same way you see in the book of John, the gospel, when the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He says right here, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. The same way that Timothy wrote that what is sanctified by what? The word of God. He shall sanctify yourself. And you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you be defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Again, what is holy? To be set apart. These is the law of the beast and the fowl and every living creature that moves in the waters and every creature that creeps upon the earth to make a difference between the unclean and the clean and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. And what did he tell you to pray over your food? What the word has sanctified. Leviticus 11:44 tell you, I have sanctified what you can't eat and what you can. And that's the word of the Most High. He wasn't giving you a whole different doctrine. See, again, when I was confused, I couldn't wait to eat chickens, pig's feet, and all those things. Now we have things. The FDA said it's good for you to eat high fructose corn syrup. Concentrate. Now, if you get some orange juice, it's going to give you the things that we have to work better with. If you're a Hebrew Israelite and there are people that need to come into the faith, they'll tell you that, you know, if you drink vitamin C from orange, if you drink vitamin orange juice, you'll get vitamin C from it. The high fructose corn syrup, or what it says from concentrate. But what they don't tell you, that these are the things that lead you to the path of diabetes. And it actually ends up changing your cells, where your cells get not in that round state they need to absorb in actual vitamin C, but they become somewhat jagged. Now, you might start off getting a small portion of vitamin C, but if you stay on a high diet of high fructose corn syrup or any of these juices or concentrate, they end up doing more damage than any little bit of good they give you. So when the Father created an apple or orange for you to eat, the chewing of it, the drinking of the juice from it, that's the best way to get vitamin C into your system. The same way that some brothers and sisters now juice some of those things, but they don't put all those extra sugars inside. That's the way you can stay healthy with the things you're doing. See, even the smoking of weed, when me and my brother and another brother named Austin, when we got together this week and we're talking about weed, and I might say the wrong word for it. I think it's CBC or CBS, something like that. When the plant is in its original form from eating it or taking it in the healthy way before you a night of fire to it and changes molecular until it becomes THC, the part that gets you high. See, again, my father's thoughts and his ways are way different from mine. He made a plant that could help stop cancer in ways, retard disease in a lot of ways. I just got to keep it in this natural form that the Father created. Once I change the form, it becomes something else. and it's not great for me. So these are the things that he tells us just to his way. And you may not have to understand all the things he's saying. You just need to be obedient. That's the reason why he tells you over and over again, study to show yourself approved. Present your body as a holy and living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So, I'm about to end up on our lesson. We're going to go to 1 Timothy, chapter 6, 14 and chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. 1 Timothy. I had my brother V tell me a little question or give me a little comment for a second, so lost my train of thought. But we're going to end that, though. 1 Timothy chapter 4, or 1 Timothy chapter 6. We have verse 14, and it reads, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of the Christ. So again, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Again, we see that in Revelations when he saw all these things that need to befall the earth. And these are as long as we're supposed to keep the commandments. When the book tells you that it's forever, that means for as long as you live or until he comes back. Whatever one comes first, that's how long we're supposed to keep these commandments. Verse number 15, which is in the times ye shall show, who is blessed and only potent. And what that means, the potent is Lord of Lords, the Emperor, a Pharaoh, the most high dwelling person you can think of. He sets above all kingdoms and nations. Keeps reading, the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. So Yeshua is the potent of this earth. So we look for these things and we understand that we keep the commandments without spot and unrebukable into the appearing of Christ. So I don't know every reason why he tells me to do all the commandments. What I do need to do is study to show myself approved and to keep these commandments. Because these are the things, as it tells me in Proverbs verse 19, verses 6 through 7, that the law will help convert my soul. The last one we're going to read, we can go to Colossians chapter 2. So we're looking at the book of Colossians. Again, this is after our Christ has ascended up to heaven. And here we have the epistles. These are letters that are going out to all the other churches, believers, brothers of the faith, Hebrew Israelites. And it reads, for I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all the riches of all full assurance of understanding, to an acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For thou, I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding you order and steadfast of your faith in Christ, as ye have Therefore, receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, establishing faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So beware of philosophy and vain deceits and traditions of men. Tomorrow, as they call a Christmas day, that's the traditions of men. When they call January the 1st, a couple weeks later or a week later, again, that's the traditions of men. These are all the rudiments of the world, and they're not after Christ. If you just do a little bit of study they have on Christmas, you can see that at some points in time in this country, it was outlawed. Other points in time, other people fought it. But the one thing that you know for sure, you put your faith in the book, in the blueprint, that the traditions of the Most High started on creation. And he taught the nation of Israel to keep these things. And he taught us in a manner of way in which for us to keep them. Not only the appointed times we do certain things, but in what nature to keep those things times to do them in. So if he told us this, brothers and sisters, again, why not do them? So we can go down to Colossians chapter 14 and 17. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took them out of the way, nailing them to the cross. You can look at Acts chapter 7, verse 25. And in Acts chapter 7, 25, it tells you there's a law of the Most High, and there's a law of sin and death. And that whole chapter, verse 7, verse 8, or chapter 7, verse 8, breaks down, fight is with the spirit in the flesh, knowing that the law has dominion over you all your life. But the handwriting or the ordinance that was contrary against you was never our Father's word. There's nothing in the Father's word. A day of rest is not against you. You can go to any doctor. You can go to any shaman. You can go to any person you want to and say, hey, if I decide to rest and not do any work, if I keep my body as a holy temple, is this somehow against me? Is this bad for me? Is it contrary to me? Everybody will tell you that's a good thing for you. If you go to somebody and say, I eat herbs and clean meats, is this somewhat bad for me now? Again, you can go to any doctor in Western America and they'll tell you that that's good for you. They want you to eat that bad stuff so they can give you a pill and keep charging your butt to keep coming back. But these are the things. The Father's law is what is good for you. What is contrary to you is all that false teaching. The things that come from the adversary. He blotted that out. The things that were contrary to you. He took them out of the way. He nailed them to the cross. So you're supposed to live the way he lived. Get resurrected again, that baptism. Come up a new creature. And keep that law in your heart, in your mind, as a part of you. Verse number 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse number 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Involuntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which have not seen, vainly puffed up by a fleshly mind. So, a holy day is not a holiday, and the Sabbath days are forever. So don't go around worrying about how somebody's judging you when you do these things. As a Hebrew Israelite, first of all, we need to learn how to keep them. Come to the Father's word and learn how to keep his word and start walking in it. As you grow in the word, we'll become better in the things we do. We'll be better in the sacrifice that we give to the Most High for presenting ourselves in that way. That the things that we're doing in error, we'll learn how to do correctly and better. Patience of the saints are those that keep the commandments in the faith of the Christ. So, that's it, Israel. If we know that there's a law out there, why not just keep it? He tells us in Jeremiah chapter 10, have no way of the heathen. The heathen are dismayed at the stars and the signs and all the things they see. A workman will come down and chop down a tree. He'll drag that tree to his home, erect it up with bolts and nails and a stand. He'll decorate that tree with silver and gold. Have no way of the heathen and their traditions and the rudiments of men. If you got some money in your pocket, keep it. Give it back to your family and those that are in dire need. But you don't need to buy the latest Xbox or Nintendo. You don't need to get rims on your tire. Your loved ones don't need new brims on their face. They need some shades. The latest fake Gucci bag they don't need. All that stuff they don't need. But you need to be giving them these commandments. So with that, Israel, I say shalom to everyone that got a chance to listen. We say thank you. And we're going to play a song for a minute. And then we'll come back and close out with a prayer. Shalom, Israel.
Shalom, Brother Ray.
Hey, is anybody else on? We are off.
I don't know if there's any questions. If anybody has a question or comment, please press number one. And we can bring you
yes.
into the queue.
Are we on right now or are we off?
Yeah, you're still on live, brother.
Okay.
So there's nobody in
Thank
the
you.
Queue right now.
Oh, that's good. So, hey, we'll close out then, brother. Hey, shalom. Okay, shalom, Israel. Peace. And again, may the Father keep you and keep us safe and while we're in the land of our captivity.
Oh, Egyptian, I ain't no Muslim, I ain't no Kabbalist, and I definitely ain't no African. Why you all up in Islam? You ain't Arab, you're a Hebrew. Man, it's getting crazy. Everywhere I look, I see you. Some of y'all say you Egyptian. You can't read the hieroglyphics. You don't know what they really say. That makes you religious, cuz you just believe in what you heard was right. So why you mad at me for saying I'm an Israelite? When I can read the Hebrew, I can see right through you. You want your identity, but you don't wanna be who you are. You wanna shine, you wanna travel around with the philosophy and history you think you found. But all your dates are carbon dated, and we know that's all. So what's the point of all your math when your equation is wrong? Come on, you ain't Egyptian. You ain't no Muslim. You ain't no African. Come on.
About us, if with their people they forgot us, cause they never came in.